8:06 past the hour here at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levins, Kathy Barnett, and we have our political commentator joining us for the morning. You know him, you love him, Robert Skwaroff joining us, who's Republican committeeman, here to talk about the Iran deal, who actually you were just telling me, you have an op-ed piece that you submitted to the Washington Times. The Washington Times, right?
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens with that. But you were talking about the Iran deal and what we can do about it, how getting it simply voted against in Congress is probably not the best route because the president can just veto that. And we're going to jump into that a little bit. But let's go ahead and set this up here for the Iran nuclear deal. We know that all the sanctions are removed. We know that basically the... Again, just kind of let you know how ridiculous this deal is. I'm just reading a little bit here at the Washington Post. They actually have the full text of the deal. I mean, like I said, I'm on page 8, and it's already talking about rebuilding and redesigning a modernized heavy water research reactor in Iraq with an A, A-R-A-K. And basically, they get everything. They get all the sanctions removed. So tell me, Robert, how ridiculous. We know that the big thing is that the sanctions are removed, that they really have no. But there's 159 pages of this. Are we missing something?
Yes. If you want to scroll to where the UN Security Council resolutions are lifted. Wait a minute. There's sanctions. See, there you are. Okay. Now, if you look at the 1929, you see the third line on the right-hand side, 1929 past 2010? See that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what page are we on?
We are on page 11. This is 11 of 159, folks.
Okay. Well, a lot of it is lists at the end of all the various annexes. But if you just look at that one resolution, 1929, that is the key as far as I'm concerned, because it specifically limited the ability of the Iranians to transit to and from any conventional warfare weapons. And until a fortnight ago, this was not going to be part of the deal. And then suddenly, because they were getting everything else they wanted, they asked for this as well. And, of course, Obama capitulated on this as well. And what that means is that although this bill that is now going to be going to the House and the Senate was supposedly only focused on nukes, now they've expanded it to non-nukes. So now what does that mean? Well, we all know that in the Constitution, that Article 2, Section 2, Paragraph 2, talks about the fact that you have to have, and I can quote it, the two-thirds majority to ratify in the Senate any action that is going to be improved as a treaty. And the bottom line is that they... 2 months ago, decided that this was not going to be a treaty. And as far as I'm concerned, it still is. Now, here's the key section.
Just to clarify, we all know Article 2, Section 2, Paragraph 2. I think I'll read it. You know that. Yeah. I don't know that everyone knows the specific. They could pick out the specific paragraph
in
the Constitution. Go ahead.
It says that the president shall have the power, by and with advising consent of the Senate, to make treaties, provide two-thirds of the senators present concur, etc. Now, what I'm trying to suggest is as follows, that because of this bill of 2 months ago, Obama threatened yesterday overtly that he would veto any disapproval, which means that each House would have to muster two-thirds of its members to overturn his veto, which is going to be very unlikely because the Dems would have the gun at their head saying this is a legacy item, just like Hillary told them yesterday, thou shalt not violate what Obama wants. So my suspicion would be, absent any kind of intervention, the thing is not going to get stopped unless this one section that I identified could become a point of litigation. Now, you recall last year that regarding Obamacare, Boehner sued against the decisions like 69 times that Obama violated black letter law, saying that he overturned his responsibilities by executive privilege. And this is a battle between the legislative and the executive branches. I would say the same thing can be done by Mitch McConnell in the Senate, saying that essentially this cannot be approved, this part of the deal, as anything other than a treaty, because it's outside what was approved 2 months ago as part of the legislative intent to have only the nuke component and sanctions associated therewith part of this deal. And so, therefore, he would need 2/3 vote to have this section of the deal approved by the Senate.
Now, let me ask you just for clarity, okay? Because you're putting down a whole lot of logic. So let's make sure we're understanding this. Now, and I think you've already have answered the question. I heard a large chunk of the answer here. But what makes this a treaty just by adding weapons?
Okay, the answer is any agreement between two countries is a treaty.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, this is an agreement between the United States and Iran,
yes,
essentially, and therefore it's a treaty. Now, what they're trying to do is redefine, just like Obamacare redefined the exchanges established by the state as being exchanges established by the state and the federal government, which, of course, were words that were not in Obamacare, the bill. Same thing here. He's trying to redefine what is the nuke bill. And he said over and over again, we're not discussing anything, the hostages, nothing else. We're only discussing nukes. So therefore, the legislative intent when this thing was passed was only nukes. And then when the final bill comes through, it has stuff in addition to nukes. And so therefore...
And so now what was passed?
What was passed was the fact that this is not going to be viewed as a treaty, and therefore... Essentially, it would be just like any legislation, which then he could veto, and then would require 2/3 vote to overturn it. That's what was passed 2 months ago, and I wrote an op-ed piece against that that was published in the American Thinker. But it went through anyway, because everyone said, well, Congress has to have a say. Yes, but the say that it got was greatly diminished, because as opposed to requiring 2/3 vote, they only require essentially 1/3 plus one in order to maintain it.
Using the nation's constitution against itself, essentially.
Correct. Essentially, what happened is Cornyn decided to abdicate his responsibility in order to try to make a deal with Obama, even though the vote count the Friday before that Tuesday meeting at 11:30 was that we had something like 65 senators ready to vote against. And then suddenly a deal was struck, unfortunately, to accommodate Obama, and I think McConnell is, again, complicit in that regard.
And so if this is a piece of legislation, then we need 2/3 vote from both from each house in order to override a veto that
Correct.
Obama has already promised us he's going to give.
Correct.
But if this is a treaty, we only need 1/3 plus one.
To kill it. Right.
That's huge. I mean, like, that's a game changer.
Right. So that's why it has to be litigated. So it's got to go to the Supreme Court. It may end up delaying things for a year or so. So much the better. Maybe we'll have a new president by then. But in any
case... because from the information I've been reading, implementation day when Iran, Ted Cruz called it a signing bonus at the max of all, I've been reading different numbers, but at a max, a signing bonus of $100 billion.
Correct.
Of unfrozen assets being released. And that can happen anytime in the first half of 2016.
Right. And you have to know also, Thursday a week ago, the United States transferred a lot of gold to Iran in South Africa, underreported. So in other words, Obama was already telegraphing the punch this thing was going to go through.
Why would we?
Why? No one has asked that question.
Did not even know about that. It just sounds
because
like some
so
kind of bribe.
We're so focused on the Confederate flag. We're so focused on the distractions. We're being intentionally distracted from the main thing.
It's called cinema. In 1980, when the Afghanistan issue was out there and the question was, do we go to the Moscow Olympics? I remember specifically reading an editorial in the New York Times referring to that concept as cinema, as opposed to dealing with the major issue, which is whether or not we should try to oppose Afghanistan invasion by Russia, or at that time USSR. And you may recall that Reagan did that successfully when he got in. So similarly here, this is like cinema, this thing about the flag and now taking down all the monuments and renaming things.
And people are so up in arms and we're so emotional. And all the while we're asleep, substantive life change, foundation chipping events are taking place. And we're essentially giving the ability to make an atomic bomb to the very people that believe their God has told them that we are the great Satan and we need to be destroyed.
And they have been saying that up until 2 days before the signing, 4 days ago. They
were yes. Reading a chant.
It's called misdirection, the way Obama's been behaving.
Rob,
yes?
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but do you happen to know... And again, I don't mean you to put you on the spot. Do you happen to know how much in gold was transacted?
It was a lot, but I don't remember the exact number. It can be Googled. But let me just be more global about this. So I submitted this idea to the Washington Times, and we'll see whether or not it gets published somewhere, because no one's talked yet about litigation. People have only been talking about legislation.
What we're going to do is we're going to keep on talking about litigation, how this is the better course in dealing with the Iran nuclear deal than making it a legislative one. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. We have Rob Sklaroff, Mike Levins, Kathy Barnett. We'll be back after this.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN. To see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and home loss number 3030.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you worried about creating a reliable and predictable income stream in retirement? That's exactly what we do when we craft your very own personalized asset cycle portfolio plan. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Trinity Associates Incorporated has been in the electrical power testing business for over 35 years. We've specialized in working for some of the biggest firms in Philadelphia, and indeed America. Not only do big firms appreciate our expertise because of their size, but they can compare us to our competitors. They appreciate our reasonable prices. In fact, many of the largest firms call us year after year for sometimes 35 years in a row. We can provide the same service for smaller firms, bringing the same expertise and reasonable prices. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated for your electrical power testing needs and a free quote. Not all electrical power testing firms are the same. Call Trinity Associates Incorporated at 610-876-6428. That's 610-876-6428. Visit their website at trinityassos.com. That's trinityassos.com.
You know, we have Robert Sklaroff in today, and we've had him on before. And you know, some of the things that we're going to talk about that he has to say about this Iran nuke deal, and even about Greece, we were just talking a little bit off the air there. It's going to blow your mind. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. If you have a question for Rob, you can go ahead and do that. And of course, we have Kathy Barnett here on our Wednesday, who is prone to saying foolishness. Whom I like to go ahead and hit the applause button for when she says foolishness. That's her favorite word. You need to think about maybe you have to have a backup. I don't know if you get tired of foolishness.
No, let me tell you something. My vocabulary is broad, so if I wanted to come up with another word, I would. But foolishness seems to It just seems to fit. It's a perfect description of what's going on.
You're in love with that word.
I'm in love with it. And not only am I in love with it, but God calls it such. And I've quoted this a number of times, and I'm going to keep quoting it. Thinking we are wise, we have become fools. And we, and a lot of the things that we're doing, when you listen to our leaders, when you listen to people, they actually think they're making sense. And it's so illogical. With just a brief review of what they're saying, or just carrying what they're saying out to the next degree, you can clearly see the holes in a fallacy, but they think they're wise.
Well, destroying all logical fallacies here on 1180 WFYL, and because they think- we have Mr. Sklarov here, who's going to enlighten us a little bit more on this Iranian nuclear deal and the difference between the legislative approach and the litigative approach.
And the first thing I want to do is clarify a point. I just was Googling, and I found a title from July 2nd stating that Iran got 13 tons of gold from the United States. Here's the reference.
And we are broke.
For what? For what reason?
Probably as a prelude to what was going to occur.
But that's, prelude for what? I mean, like, why do we have... So I mean, we're giving
we're
them
paying,
$100 billion.
I know. We're paying them, essentially, to... I don't know, rob us from all the they're robbing us on this negotiation. It's not a negotiation. It's complete capitulation.
Correct.
And we're actually paying them.
Yes, the argument was made that we're basically negotiating with ourselves. There is a very good op-ed today by Mort Klein of the Zionist Organization of America with Dr. Mandel talking about this is in the Washington Times, talking about all the errors that are in it. And you could probably all listen to Krauthammer when he was listing a few of them last night on Fox News at always at 8:38 p.m. Eastern Daylight when they have their Fox All-Star discussions. And he was overwhelming in pointing out that this is essentially idiocy of the whole thing, soup to nuts. And so I was just listening, of course, to the apologists on the radio. I listened to MSNBC more than I listened to Fox. And basically, Madeleine Albright was on. Now, remember, she's the one who presided over the capitulation in North Korea. And she was basically rationalizing that this is the best we could do. Now, you may recall the rhetoric previously was no deal is better than a bad deal. That's gone out the window. Now the argument is the alternative to this is war. And, of course, the answer is no. The alternative is, again, negotiating from strength and getting a better deal. As it is right now, the inspections, if we request them, would, number one, go to a committee which has Iran on that committee. Mm-hmm. And then if they're approved, they would not occur until up to 24 days after they were requested, which, of course, would give Iran plenty of time to mop up whatever area. And also,
what's the point of the inspection then?
Correct. So what they say is it's better than it used to be. Yes, but what is it? And what is it is terrible. And that's basically a metaphor for everything that's going on here.
Right, and we were, I actually mentioned that the other day. I was talking about that, how, yeah, Iran's on the board to make the decisions for their own inspections. I don't know what lunacy they think that will justify, but we're going to find out, won't we? So there are two approaches. We have the legislative approach, where this is a piece of legislation, and the president has already said in a very outspoken manner that he is going to veto anything that comes to his desk that is going to oppose this deal passed by Congress. Now, that's the legislative approach. To overturn that, we would need two-thirds vote from
both houses
in order to overturn that presidential veto. What you say is that we should go towards litigation.
Correct. And then the idea being that this is a treaty between the United States and Iran, this concession that we made to allow them to get conventional arms would be something we could litigate, and then as a treaty require two-thirds vote, and then, of course, the whole thing would require two-thirds vote, and then that would flip Obama back and then hopefully tie this up in the legal world long enough to run out the clock until we have a better president, such as Ted Cruz.
And you're saying that, and that's who you support, and you're not shy about that.
Correct.
And we talked about Republican presidential candidates last time you were on here, so we could touch on that too. Want to get to Greece as well. We got a couple issues lined up here.
All right.
But we have, of course, I'm looking at the sanctions here and the sanctions that are lifted. You could actually find the full text in the Iran nuclear deal at the Washington Post. .com, and I'm looking at one in particular, which you say is the premise for litigation. Lifting of a sanction that was enacted in, let me guess, 1929, looks like it was amended in 2010.
No, it's a separate entity. Each one of those is a separate UN Security Council resolution, page 11.
Okay, there you go. Okay, right. So 1929 enacted in 2010. It's resolution 1929 enacted in 2010.
Right.
And this was a resolution that basically forbade Iran from accessing or, and please clarify this if I'm getting this wrong, from basically accessing or using this program to make conventional weapons, non-nuclear weapons?
Correct. So all of this would be simultaneously blown out. It would be terminated. And so therefore they would be able to do whatever they want whenever they wanted after, I guess, like 8 years or something like that.
But that's where you're saying that is the crux where this makes this... This makes this a treaty, which is not exactly what was talked about or passed 2 months ago, meaning focusing solely on nuclear weapons. This comes outside of that.
Correct.
And that's the justification to bring it into a court of law through lawsuit.
Right. Now, they do have in the legislation that I read the fact that all annexes, et cetera, are included in that legislation. But the counterargument is that in terms of what was the legislative intent, Congress clearly was told and clearly therefore believed that this was only related to nukes and not conventional. And so therefore that's the way they would defend it, and that's the way we would, I hope, push the issue.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's switch gears for a second off of Iran. Oh, Kathy, go ahead.
Before we switch gears, yes, a couple of things. So because the big question, and I don't know if it's a Christian conservative question that we always ask, we always trying to find the reason behind things, the big picture. And so this question that comes to me, even as I was reading this last night, is why?
Why is he doing this?
Why would we do this? Right. Why is he doing this? Okay. What is going on?
So you got about a minute, Rob.
All right. Well, the key thing right now is that a lady named Jarrett, is a very close advisor. And she was born in Iran. And from the very beginning, Obama wanted to open his hand to our enemies. And he wants to allow Iran to become a partner of the United States in search of hegemony against other people, including traditional friends such as Saudi Arabia and Israel. And so while he withdraws because he's such a pacifist, he is allowing all these other people who are sworn enemies of the United States and Israel to gain strength.
Because my motto is, if you are an enemy of the United States, you are a friend to Obama. And that's that is what has been presented time and time again.
It's crazy.
WFYL. Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. There's a search for six people missing in flooding in Flat Gap, Kentucky, with at least two others killed. Tim Weisenhans in Lexington.
The water just rose rapidly. It was just unbelievable how fast it rose. Just in a matter of hours.
More than 150 homes are reported destroyed. Rain and mud are making it hard for search teams to get around. The Greek parliament's debating a bailout deal.
Reforms to pensions and higher taxes among the measures the Greek prime minister needs to ram through parliament by the end of the day if this bailout deal is to stay alive. There is opposition among lawmakers to more austerity. But the Greek labour minister saying a deal is essential. The International Monetary Fund saying European countries need to offer Greece more debt relief if the country is to get back on its feet.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. Fox News. We report. You decide.
If you're looking for a healthy treat today, why not head down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt? It's located in the King of Prussia Mall, the Plaza section opposite L.L. Bean. They have shakes and smoothies and hot fudge sundaes and, yes, even mint chocolate chunk frozen yogurt. And if you tell them you're a listener of WFYL, receive a 10% discount. So today, why not? Head on down to TCBY Frozen Yogurt located in the King of Prussia Mall.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Hi, this is Carla Didesi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
The best form of government is that which is most likely to prevent the greatest sum of evil, a quote from James Monroe.
Eight 34 here on 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levins here with Kathy Barnett. And special guest this morning, Rob Skwaroff, being our political analyst for the morning, looking at all the issues as we talk about Iran. And I think that's a title very worthy of yourself here, sir. You can call in at 610-539-TALK. The number to call, 610-539-8255. If you have a question for Rob, we're talking about the nuclear deal with Iran, giving us insights. 12 tons of gold given to Iran from the United States took place in South Africa. Is that correct there, Rob?
Yes.
So it took place in South Africa. We're releasing all sanctions. This goes beyond a nuclear deal, just nuclear weapons. This also allows them to create conventional weapons. There's another UN sanction that is lifted. So this goes around this. We're talking about why in the world would President Obama... Why in the world would he do something like this? That was a question that you posed to Rob, but we kind of ran up against the break there before you were able to finish talking about that, Rob. You know, why would President Obama be advocating for such a deal, which is not a deal? It's so bad. Anyone can tell that plainly. Everyone knows it's a bad deal. Everyone knows Iran wants nuclear weapons, and they want to be a superpower.
And these people are dangerous.
So, Rob, what say you?
Well, Obama is an ideologue, and everything can be deduced therefrom. And I have to say that when he was elected in 08, I was clinically depressed for a week. And when he was reelected in 12, I got over it within a day because I was seeing what was happening and saw what was going to happen. And notwithstanding the electoral victories of Republicans in Congress in the interim years, he has fulfilled all my worst expectations in every realm. I have opposed every single thing he's done. So people say, well, how about the drones? He kills all of the baddies. And the answer is he's doing that instead of sending them to Gitmo where they can be questioned. So he wants to be judge, jury, and executioner, both on foreign affairs and, unfortunately, in domestic affairs. He's very often said that he is very much opposed to the Republicans and is then divisive in that level. He's divisive in terms of race. He's divisive in terms of religion. And this is all tied in with his egocentric behavior. And we have to contend with that for another year and a half.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, and he's very arrogant as well. But I loved how you said, like, this whole, I mean, he is an ideologue. He has made it very clear from the very beginning that his goal is to redistribute wealth, to redistribute resources, to redistribute world power. And this goes, and this Iranian deal is a part of his bigger grand plan of reducing America and spreading it out even to our enemies. I mean, and these people are not our enemies because we don't personally care for them, but they are our enemies because they themselves, I mean, just a couple of days ago, the Ayatollah was leading a chant of death to America. They have been very clear about who they are, and but for some reason, there are things that are more important to Obama, his legacy being one of them. And just kind of talk a little bit, I mean, like, just to the whole arrogance of this man, that we have three confirmed Americans, and we're believing one more, so four Americans languishing in Iranian prisons, and that's not even something he was willing to discuss in order to give Iran every single thing they want. He didn't even want that to be brought up into the discussion because he doesn't care that we have Americans languishing in their prisons.
He would only care if it serves his larger purposes. And I was mentioning his ideological bent. I just pulled out a reference in the National Review to the fact that the LA Times is suppressing Obama's tape, which they have, when he was at he was heaping praise upon Rashid Khalidi, who was the former mouthpiece for master terrorist Yasser Arafat. There's a lot about this guy's background that has been suppressed, particularly by the media. And it's a problem because all the stuff, for example, that Dinesh D'Souza put out in his two movies and his books is essentially accurate regarding whether or not the implications are as dire as is suggested. The background of Obama and how it leads to his postures, whether it be supporting the Hispanics, infiltrating from Mexico to redo this, the war where the Alamo fell, etc. Whether it be issues related to that war, Churchill, remember, mm-hmm. the guy from Colorado in that regard. Whether it be issues related to Native Americans and so forth. He is really trying to do what he said he wanted to do, which is transform America. It's going to be a very, very difficult task for Ted Cruz to undo it.
Let's talk about Operation Jade Helm. We talked about that briefly when it first broke. Kathy, you served in the military for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some things that are happening that you're concerned about in the military. But let's talk about this because we're all talking about, okay, what is President Obama trying to do? Jade Helm is concerned people. It's basically a military training exercise happening a lot, very much so in the Midwestern United States, and where the military is practicing training to be undercover in urban environments and to fight in urban environments, but it is such a massive exercise and it's being done in neighborhoods.
Yes,
in the United States hasn't really been reported on.
Yeah, I mean, well, the military personnel are camouflaging as civilians during their training of how to engage in combat in urban areas. And as part of the CID, the Criminal Investigation Department, for many years, a part of my 10 years in the military, you have to stand back and look at that and say, now, why again? What's the point of training military personnel on how to engage in combat on American soil and how to blend in when necessary? I mean, like, what's the overarching point? And we were talking during the break that a lot of what we're seeing, whether it's Confederate flag, the American flag, whether it's black and white, the Black Lives Matter foolishness that's going on, whether it's homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and Christians, police officers. I mean, every single group that can be divided, even with the immigrants you had mentioned earlier.
We're seeing
turmoil.
I have a feeling you've got. I have a feeling you know something here, and I feel like I could listen to you for a long time here, Rob. I feel like you've got something as far as Jade Helm and all these different operations.
Add to this.
Well, what I was suggesting, although I simply have read what you're talking about, is whether or not you were talking about whether he would try to impose martial law. You know, all this turmoil that he stimulates and does not suppress makes one wonder whether or not he wants insurrection, so that then he could act accordingly. You have to hope not, but one wonders. I when you were talking also about the Confederate flag issue, I was noticing that the key problem that Rush Limbaugh always talks about is the libs, the progressives, are never satisfied. So now they got rid of the flag in South Carolina, and now they're working on monuments and exhuming bodies and so forth. And I was here a little early, so I was reading Newt Gingrich's book, God in America. And although I found a little typo in there, the presidency of Calvin Coolidge was referred to as the 13th, which of course was Fillmore instead of the 30th, but we digress. the point here is that God is in the public square all over the place. And when you think about how efforts are being made to expunge the flag of the Confederacy, and some people are expanding that to the American flag and equating the American flag with the Islamic flag, and it's here and in England and so forth, what you see is an effort really made to suppress history in order to meet the cultural expectations of the left, and that's always dangerous. And as you can't change history, you got to learn it. You know, the whole thing about if you don't remember it, you're going to Santayana, you're going to have to suffer it again. Mm-hmm. So I don't like that effort to essentially engage in revisionism. And so that's part and parcel of the cinema that we're getting with this flag thing. Meanwhile, under the radar, Obama is doing all kinds of problematic things. I would almost say evil, but don't want to characterize it that much. But although there's a certain resemblance that can't be denied.
You don't want to? I will. It is she. I mean, because Michael and I were talking about this, the things that are going on is biblical. it's evil.
It is of biblical proportions, the things that we're seeing happening.
He lies all the time. It's amazing.
Because we're not only talking about just Iran here, you know, as far as also world issues, I mean, Greece as well, and the economic collapse of them. I mean, heck, China, you know, just about 2 months ago had to have a market reset. Their stock market was plummeting for the past, for basically a month. They were enduring a crash, and China had to reset their market. So we are seeing things of biblical proportions, quite frankly, occurring here. And we are just spectators, it would seem, right now. So, you know, and I want to, we've got to head to a break. We're going to go ahead and talk about Greece here in a second as well. You called 610-539. Talk, we've got Robert Sklaroff, Republican committee person with us, Mike Levins and Kathy Barnett. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. A lot of interesting questions these issues bring up, especially the Iran nuclear deal. Of course, we could talk all day long about what the president's motivation is, but we do have, it would appear, a good course of action to litigate this, as you, Rob, suggested, in courts, because we could get that much easier than with legislation.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Robert Aitken, the publisher of the Pennsylvania Magazine, died this day, July 15th, 1802. During the colonial era, the Bible most used in America was the King's Authorized Version, printed on the King's official presses in England. But as the Revolutionary War interrupted trade with England, and since the Bible was used commonly in education, the Continental Congress in 1782 responded to the shortage by approving and recommending that Robert Aitken of Philadelphia print the first Bibles in America. They were to be a, quote, neat edition of the Holy Scriptures for the use of schools.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. There's no easier way to share your faith than by giving someone a free gift, the Word of God in a compact, pocket-sized gospel.
I'm going back to nursing school in the fall, and I'm almost out of gospels. I've gotten out of the habit of giving them out. Time to get back to sowing God's seed. Thanks so much for what you do.
This is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. League members have found that any place is a good place to share a pocket gospel with someone they meet. Join us, and you'll always be ready. Is there anything more important?
I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and I'll be giving the Gospels to dock workers who load and unload my truck, as well as to other drivers and truck stop employees, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the Gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Earlier this year, I had the pleasure and honor of meeting Melissa Klein and her husband, Aaron, a wonderful Christian couple with five children who started a small bakery in their home state of Oregon. They came under prosecution from the state after they chose not to create a wedding cake for a same-sex couple, saying to do so would violate their conscience and their faith. Well, just last week, the state issued its verdict, ordering the couple to pay $135,000 in fines. In addition, the judge placed a gag order on the couple, prohibiting them from speaking about the case to anyone or making any statements as to why they chose not to participate in the same-sex wedding ceremony. Friends, liberty is under siege in America. Please pray for our efforts to defend religious liberty and for the Klein family that is facing such a ruinous court ruling. For more information on defending religious liberty, go to our website at pafamily.org.
Well, it feels like an election year. We're not quite there yet, but basically the elections are in full swing as we have candidates announcing that they are joining the presidential race. And we have to talk, and last time you were on the show, Rob, we talked about this, basically about how you had gotten a chance to meet a lot of the candidates, talking to them in particular. You were kind of giving us your analysis and insight as to the politics of this presidential election coming up and all the candidates, all 58 of them. That's what it would seem like. You could call in at 610 if you would like to run for president. You could call in at 610-539-8255 and announce your candidacy here on 1180 WFYL. We'll go ahead and take your calls here. Mike Levins, Kathy Barnett, Rob Sklaroff here. So, Rob, tell me, we're talking about this event. You're a Republican committee person. You actually got a chance to meet a lot of the potential candidates. Some of them have not announced. Some of them have announced. Pretty much, I'm probably sure all of them are going to announce. But we are talking about your favorite candidate being Ted Cruz.
Yay.
Correct.
And for the reasons for that. And Kathy gives a hearty yay there,
yay.
adding on
I
to
like
that.
Ted
so
Cruz.
So tell me about Ted here.
Okay, the first thing you have to know is that today a poll was announced from USA Today placing him fourth in the whole list. He's rising. And he's above people like Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee. So my hope is that the evangelical crowd, including also Jindal, and Santorum, will congregate and coalesce around him. And then he would hang around. Now, remember, he raised more than $50 million, including his four super PACs. So he is very well equipped for the long term, unlike a lot of the other guys and gal. And my hope is that he will continue to keep absorbing support. And apparently yesterday he met with Trump in New York. He's no dummy. Now, I have a new page cover on Facebook of a meeting that I held with him last week, regarding Kurdistan. And so to give you an idea of this man's insights, I'll give you a little bit of information about
that. Just to clarify Kurdistan, because this is something I didn't at first make the connection. We're talking Kurdistan, meaning the Kurdish fighters. Okay, we're talking about ISIS here and how they are basically the main fighting force keeping ISIS at bay here. So when we talk about Kurdistan, make that connection that these are the Kurdish fighters who have been fighting against ISIS in the northeast region of Syria.
Yeah, Peshmerga is the name of the actual armed force of them. The Kurdistan Regional Government, KRG, is the entity that is based in Erbil and is the northern section of Iraq that you may or may not recall after the first Gulf War was protected by the no-fly zone imposed by Bush 41. And now they are the feet on the ground, and in fact they're so successful that Erdogan, that's E-E-R-D-O-G with a little marker over the G, Erdogan, A-N, Erdogan, is the, Ersop is his first name, is the head of Turkey. And at one point he was suggesting that ISIS is less of a danger to him than are the Kurds. And that's because in eastern Turkey there are a lot of Kurds living, as well as in Iran, Iraq, and Syria. And so his support for ISIS, the Islamic State, was sort of laid bare when the Kurds intercepted a town on the southern border of Turkey towards Syria, which had been a supply route from Turkey into the Islamic State capital, quote-unquote, Raqqa. So the man, even though his country is a member of NATO, is a major problem because he's an Islamist, and it's all coming out right now. Now, fortunately, the most recent elections, he did not get the majority. And therefore, and there's a lot of, let's say, ferment within the military. One hopes that there will be a political change in his behavior, although he's buds with Obama, so one wonders whether that can be achieved. But that's just one facet of the situation. So we were meeting with Cruz because this is now, for 7 years I've been writing articles with a guy named Shirko Abbas, who is the president of the Kurdistan National Assembly of Syria. And so a bunch of other people, including from the London Center, and Tony Schaefer, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, has written a bunch of books, you've seen him on Fox, met with him, eight of us, in his private office. And if you want to see a picture of it, you can go to my website. Go to Facebook, Robert Sklaroff, and Sklaroff, and you can see his picture of Reagan on the wall at the wall, where he told us when we came in that he kept writing into his speech, tear down this wall, Gorbachev, and his speechwriters kept eliminating it, and he kept putting it back in again. Of course, he ultimately uttered it. So we were meeting with him to discuss the issue of direct aid by the United States to Kurdistan, because the day prior, Dempsey, the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs, had said, along with Ash Carter, the Secretary of Defense, that arms were being given directly to the Kurds. And according to Shirko, it was not the case. So let's just say the issue was front and center, so that on Thursday, when he was talking to the incoming chief, I think Dinmore, something like that, he asked in his 7 minutes, minutes number 3 to 4, after he discussed ISIS, before he discussed Iran, he asked him specifically about this and was reassured that the arms were getting there directly. We ain't so sure we're still pursuing this issue, but the bottom line is that it's now really on the radar screen that the Kurds need quality arms in mass and not just through Baghdad, where a lot of them are, let's say, intercepted. And that is the basic boot on the ground that we have to fight off the Islamic State. Very important, geopolitically.
Rob, I could sit here and I could listen to you as long as the day is long here, because you just offer you offer so much insight and just knowledge as to what's going on. It's a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Anytime.
And Kathy, you know, I don't know about you, Kathy, but I'm ready for it. Or are you ready for it? I think I am. It's time for your daily facepalm. Well, in London, apparently you could get arrested for charging your phone on a train, because that's exactly what happened to London-based artist Robin Lee, who plugged his phone in on a London Overground train on Friday and was spotted by a community support officer. I'm glad we don't have those here in the United States. Maybe we do, and I just don't know about it.
Yeah, but it is coming.
He apparently was stealing the 0.052, whatever the P stands for, of whatever, watts or of electricity. She accused him of abstracting electricity and pointed out to some nearby police officers.
Because he was charging his cell phone on the train, and that accounted for him abstracting or stealing electricity. People, that's socialism.
He was then apparently re-arrested for, quote, unacceptable behavior before... At least he got released without charge. But
because
just remember,
God forbid, he'd get angry.
Just remember, as we wrap up the show this morning, that you could get arrested in London for charging your phone on a train. That's our daily facepalm for today, and that is our program. It's a new day. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, at all these different things, no matter how ridiculous it is, like charging your phone and getting arrested for it, or whether it is the Iran nuclear deal, that the answer to all these things is only found in one thing, that is in Jesus Christ. And that will always be true till the end of time. Mike Levins, Kathy Burnett here. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9.
In anticipation of troubled times, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to be courageous, bold, and unswerving in his belief of God. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you listen to the news of the day, you may well be fearful of all types of things, known and unknown. But God has given us the victorious power, His Holy Spirit to communicate the truth, and the spirit of confidence and faith. We should not sit back nor cower. Instead, we must press on for the truth. We must declare our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel. As Paul said, "Because of what God has done for us, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Wear the name of Christian with humility, grace, and power." I'm Sam Rohr saying, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us stand for Christ and with Christ no matter the cost."
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.